Welcome to Human Potential at Work, the show where we explore social impact, inclusion, and empowerment of everyone, including persons with disabilities. Get ready to be inspired, hear success stories, and learn tips and principles for bringing out the best in everyone. And now, here's your host and CEO of Rue Global Impact, Deborah Rue.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah Rue, and this is Human Potential at Work. I am the CEO of Rue Global Impact, and we work with corporations and governments to make sure they're meaningfully including people with disabilities, and we're proud to be a social enterprise. And also, I'm the chairman of Billion Strong. Please go out and join our free movement at www.billion-strong.org. And speaking of Billion Strong, I have one of our global advisors and our country partners today, and this is going to be a shorter episode, but she's coming back on. And we were having technology problems, which is the story of all of our lives these days. But also, I'm not going to butcher her last name. So I'm going to call her Jewel. And she's joining us from Lagos, Nigeria.
I'm actually in London. I'm in London at the moment.
Oh, you're in London today. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
I'm in Nigeria next week. But yeah, today
okay.
I'm in London.
Well, please tell the audience a little bit more about who you are. I heard you speak at a real big event, and I was blown away by you. I just was very impressed with you. So I wanted my audience to know more about you too.
Thank you. My name is Jewel Okwechime, and that's a Nigerian surname. I was born in London, but I've actually lived in the UK. I've lived in Nigeria. I've lived in Australia. I've lived in America, Scotland, Wales. So yeah, I've been around the world a lot. My background is I'm a chartered chemical engineer and also an environmentalist. So I have worked for all the major oil and gas companies, Shell, BP, ExxonMobil, Schlumberger. And with that, I have been working for them as an environmental advisor. So basically helping them to pollute less, engage with the stakeholders, engage with the government, write procedures and processes in place to help them to care more about the emissions going into water, land, and into the sea as well. So I looked at it as a very unique opportunity because most chemical engineers don't understand abatement, don't understand how to save the environment. And environmentalists are too, you must not do this, you must not do that. So I was like the middleman in a way that understood the engineers and also understood the environmentalists. So together I was able to work with them and to be able to comply with the environmental legislations and as well as to be able to produce or any sort of materials that we were making for whichever factory or industry. So with that, I've been networking a lot with private equity guys. I used to go to Cape Town for the Oil Week. And we used to have lots of fun, lots of parties. And I used to say, why am I doing the wrong thing? Everyone's having so much fun. I feel like I was doing a really boring, I was in a very boring career. So I was like, I would love to have fun like these guys. So I said to them, like, how can we, you know, collaborate and work together? And they were saying, oh, Jill, we're interested in looking at oil and gas assets. And that was how I became an investor. So I started to invest in oil and gas assets in Africa, but mainly with Australian companies. And from there, I grew this huge private equity team, and I started doing lots of deals in terms of helping small companies that were looking for funding to operate their oil field. And so I was doing that for a while until I had a meeting with one of the most powerful men in Africa. His name is Tony Elimelu, and he said to me that he wanted me to work for him. And he said, would you move back to Nigeria? And I was like, yes. Because I was quite nervous because it would be a big step because I've never really worked in Nigeria before. And I said to him that, yeah, I would work in Nigeria for you. I would like that opportunity. I know that he was connected with all the global leaders. And I said, I would like to network with them as well. And so I took that opportunity to move back to Nigeria and work for him as his senior executive assistant. And with that, I got to build my network. And with that network, it's just been opportunities and I've met lots of wonderful people. I've learned a lot about the industry. I learned a lot about Nigeria as well. And it gave me an opportunity to also learn about how to be a different kind of leader, especially for people that were less fortunate or people that were not educated and they had to work for me. My role was, I was the head of administration and business development. So I was dealing with everyone from the drivers to the cleaners to the cooks to the security, all the logistics, everything to the air conditioning, the fans, whatever we had on site, it was my responsibility to for the running of all those things. So I had to deal with all sorts of different people with different backgrounds, with different educational background. And so that was quite challenging, but it got me to understand a little bit more about how they work and how they need to feel motivated, and I like use that a lot to motivate them. And yeah, so it was a real eye-opener for me, because I never knew people could earn that little money and were still like coming to work every day for that amount of money. And so it did make me feel like I could also help them as well in looking at their entrepreneurial spirit and letting them know that they can do other things as well, not just 9-to-5 kind of job.
Jewel, so I know that you're very tied to, like you said, environment, making sure that we protect our beautiful planet. But I also, and I'm deliberately throwing this to you, you also don't look like a private equity investor. You don't, so we've had some very interesting conversations about you being a Black woman from Nigeria and well-traveled, and how you actually had to change who you were so that others would be comfortable with having a Black woman in the room. And then, of course, you really care about, as you said, people that are disenfranchised. Because I know when you heard what we're doing at Billion Strong, you're like, how can I help? I'll support Nigeria. Let's get all of Africa involved. And, yeah. And why should we get all of Africa? I certainly have a lot of opinions of why we should. But I was just wondering if you would explore a couple of those topics too.
Can you... Because the few things you just mentioned, which I wanted to...
I'm going to remind you, it was interesting to me when you talked about working in the banking system, the financial system in Australia, and how you experienced that...
I'll start off with my degree. So I studied chemical engineering, and I felt like I wasn't going to be able to prove that I am a chemical engineer. So what I did was I had the institution, the Institute of Chemical Engineering, which is an institution that helps you to get accredited. And you get to the next level association, and then you get to this highest level, which is fellowship. That's all I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was to get to the highest level as an engineer, professional level, and that I was recognized by an institution, because I was concerned that people, when I walk into a room, they go, oh, she's an engineer. How can she be an engineer? Like, I go, but I'm chartered. I'm a fellow engineer. I'm actually the highest level professionalism as an engineer. So that was my way of being comfortable with being an engineer. And then being headhunted by an Australian company was also, to me, like the best thing that could ever happen to me, because it was really fast. I just had a phone call, and then they just offered me the job on the phone, and they told me that, okay, we're bringing a big truck, taking all your stuff, you're moving to Australia. I was like, wow, this is a huge change. I didn't know anything about Australia at the time. But all I knew is that it was a great job opportunity. The salary was amazing. Everything was perfect. So I moved there. And within the first month, I was having challenges, and which you're talking about. I was working for the largest oil and gas company in Australia called Woodside. And about 2,000 staff. And I noticed, obviously, straight off that I was probably the only Black person on the project. And I had an issue with one of my colleagues who were in the same job level. And he was trying to say to me, you're working for me. And I said to him that, no, I don't work for you. I can work with you. And he got into this really heated conversation about trying to correct me that I work for him. And then I said, no. And he got upset. And he got upset that I think they said he cried or something, and that it had something to do with how I spoke to him. And so I got called in by the supervisors, and they had this chat to me about how I basically don't know how to handle conflict in the office, and that I need to see a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And so the HR arranged for me to have sessions with a psychologist. And I remember sitting down with her, and she was saying to me, the thing is, when I was trying to like say, this is the issue, I don't understand why he's been upset with me. I was trying to really defend myself about how this is my point. I didn't come all the way from England to work for someone on the same job level as me. And then she says, look at it this way. You're Black, you're a woman, and you're different. And everyone else is just look at you and they go, wow, who's this person? They get scared and they're terrified. Look at them as the victim. And then you realize that you can see that they are the ones that being that are like having to be comfortable with you being around. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, and I was like, okay. Wow, I've never thought of it that way. And so I said, okay, at least now I understand what the issue is because I'm just too much and I need to.
You need to change who you are because that makes a lot of sense.
You know, not make
so that the others can be comfortable.
Yeah. Because I was like, we used to have these overalls and I would paint my nails and did everything to look feminine because I just didn't want to get lost in that uniform all day long with our hard hats and our boots. So I was really like, I really like to show myself off with my rings and my nails and that sort of thing. But yeah. And it was later on, like now, when I think back, I'm like, wow. I mean, like, that doesn't sound right. That's not really acceptable what she did. And I didn't even know because I just wanted to get through the day because every
you
day
you just
was
wanted
so
to belong, right? Yeah. You just wanted to belong and do your job.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what the work we're all doing together. That's why I know that we don't have a lot of time, but she's definitely coming back on and very proud once again. She's a global partner and a country partner with Billion Strong. But why do you think it's so important that we do more meaningfully include Africa in these, in all of the conversations we're having?
Yeah, I believe that I am in everyone, that I see myself in everyone. And when it comes to Africa, I see more of myself in Africa and I see how optimistic that people are, but at the same time, they don't have the same opportunities that I have or opportunities that are in developed countries. And obviously it's not their fault. It's just the fact that we are in a country that has a lot of, I don't want to say negative because I know that everything happens for a reason. It's just unfortunate that they're faced with lots of challenges and no one seems to be doing anything about it in a way that is actually impactful. People do try to do stuff, but I just feel like there's so much more that can be done. I always look at Africa like a white canvas. There's so much opportunity because they're all ready to learn and they're all like fresh energy that's quite unique and authentic. And to me, it's not about, obviously, we're all special. It's about how able we are, where we have the ability to do everything. I don't even like using the word disability because to me, it seems like, something. So I like to look at it as that special people. Everyone's special. Everyone's unique. Everyone has to be unique to make the world go round, to make the world as beautiful as it is. And there's no, everyone's part of the world. Everyone's part of us. There's no separation. And that's something that I'm very passionate about. And when I look at Africa, I look at it as a country that is vibrant, that has a different kind of sound. And it's so vibrant. It's rich in so many ways.
Yeah. Not in the traditional ways, we would say, but it's rich in resources. The people are amazing. That's why other countries came and stole them away because they were so, you know, wonderful specimens. So it was actually used against them. Why do you think Billion Strong is important when it comes to Africa, the people with disabilities in Africa?
So the word, I guess the word, just the word itself, Billion Strong, it's about the billions, about like just in Lagos alone, one city in Lagos, it's got 20 million people. If you can just touch like 1%, that's a huge amount of people. And so Billion Strong is not looking at the numbers. And that's what makes the difference. You're not just going, we're going to do, it's just the name alone just brings that power to let people realize that we are Billion Strong together and we're all coming together and we're doing something great, and everyone is going to be recognized. Everyone's going to be counted. There's no exclusion. You're not part of it. You can't be part of it. Everyone's is part of it, and that's something unique. It comes with the actual name. The name itself carries so much volume, and that's what
I love the name.
That's what's going to move lots of people.
I know that. Once again, I want to make sure. Sorry for the technical problems we had, but that's
all right. We've moved on. It happens for a reason.
I agree. And the reason why we are just so thrilled that Jewel is one of our advisors is because she has done so much all over the world. And she's such a leader and a champion. And she wants people included. And she cares about our planet, which I don't know why people don't care about our planet. Our planet's a living Earth too. But Jewel, will you tell people how they can learn more about your work, what your websites are, where you're on social media? Once again, you'll be able to find her on Billion Strong because she's guiding us, thank goodness. But she's had such an interesting life. And when we sit and talk and she starts telling me the stories, are we surprised that when you, and I'm white, that when a beautiful Black woman walks in the room, does she need to adjust her behavior to the white people in the room? Hoping we're moving past that kind of stuff, because I know another beautiful, talented African-American that was told, why do you think you can be an engineer? Yeah. But I think we need more leaders like you, Jewel, and we need to make sure others are in. So you're helping us make sure every part of Africa is included, and that we're really thinking about this in a way that is inclusive of all of the different cultures and things. And I really appreciate that. But tell the audience how they can find out more about your work.
How can you find out more? I guess there's very few Black engineers. That's a bit of a hippie and a biohacker. Like, I've always known that I know I'm different. I know that for a fact, because I know the way that I think, the way that I process things, everything is quite unique. But yeah, just in terms of like how to find me, it's kind of like I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm also on Facebook, and I'm also doing a lot of interviews in Nigeria around Billion Strong, because I do want to like capture as many people as possible and to get the support, the donations and things like that. So I have been pushing for that this month, and it's a very exciting time. Yesterday was Literacy Day, which was kind of like nice, because I'm thinking, you know, that September is like a special month with all the different days coming up, and I was like happy that this is the time that we are doing this talk. And one thing that is about me is that growing up was that I was considered to be this clumsy child. I didn't have any friends or anything. Or I was the one that didn't know how to talk to boys and that sort of stuff. And I was the one that was uncomfortable when my boobs were growing. And I was like, what the hell is this? Where does this come from? No, I didn't. There was no internet. There was no one to tell me that, like, I was going to grow these parts. And I was like, what's going on? And everything just came as a shock. And I had to get through everything all by myself. And because of that, it's made me stronger. It's made me also realize that gift of all those things, all those times I went through it growing up, was to make me who I am today.
Right.
I'm very, very comfortable with who I am, my skin, who I am, and everything else. But it wasn't like overnight. It wasn't like I just grew up. Like, I went through, I was a nerd, I wore glasses. And my mom wouldn't, my glasses would break. I'd say, Mom, can I get a new one? She's like, nope. And then I have to super glue it, use a foil. I might pin it up here. I could do the hairpins, clip it in my glasses. I didn't care. And people were laughing. They're like, I don't care. Like, I just have to get by. And these days, kids are now going through all these mental health issues and things like that. And I look at them and say, is it because they have all the information coming up on the internet telling you that this, you have a problem. You're not okay. You are, something's wrong with you.
Correct.
And so that must be me. If you have a headache, you can find out you're dying of cancer tomorrow if you have a headache. Just go on the internet and find out. I have a headache. Would I live till tomorrow? No, you won't. So I guess in a way, I was happy that I didn't get too much exposure to too much information on the internet, because I just basically had to figure things out just by going inwards. And right. That's one thing that...
Which we all need to do. Yeah. We all need to do. So I know that we're out of time in it, but
yeah.
I just wanted to introduce Jewel. I'm so impressed with her. She has so much to offer the world. She's already doing it. And I think we need the quirky, innovative, creative people. I'm that way. I've got gray and purple hair, and I'm very proud to be different. But this is how we move forward. So Jewel, thank you so much for being on the program. I'm sorry it was so short, but I'm so glad you're going to go back out and be on the show. I expect to have her as a regular guest, and she's a very big, important part of Billion Strong. So, Jewel, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to coming back real soon.
Yes, and we'll get it. We'll go right to Zoom next time. We won't try the other one. So, all right. Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work, brought to you by Rue Global Impact. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you consume your audio. To learn more about Rue Global Impact and the services we provide, visit RueGlobal.com. To learn more about how you can become a sponsor of Human Potential at Work, email David@RueGlobal.com. That's David@RueGlobal.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next time with a new episode.